They knew that when this happened, their friend had died and would be gone forever. One day, one of the little beetles felt an irresistible urge to climb up a stem. It seemed that it must be her time to die. However, she was determined that she would not leave forever. She would come back and tell her friends what she found at the top. When she arrived at the top, she climbed out of the water onto the surface of the lily pad. She was so tired, and the sun was so warm, that she decided to take a nap. As she slept, her body changed, and when she woke up, she had turned into a beautiful blue-tailed dragonfly. She had broad wings and a slender body designed for flying. So fly she did. As she soared, she saw the beauty of a whole new world, a far superior way of life than she had ever known could exist. Then she remembered her beetle friends and how they were no doubt thinking she was dead. She wanted to go back to them to explain that she was more alive than ever before. Her life had actually been fulfilled rather than ended. But her new body would not go down into the water. She could not get back to tell her friends the good news. She had to be reconciled to the knowledge that their time would come, that one day they would learn what she now knew. So she raised her wings in joyous flight.
In the innermost regions of our being, there is that eternal something, our essential nature, that always remains untouched by the events around us. We may stumble, but that eternal voice is always whispering within our ear, supporting our life's journey. It is that great I Am. It is God. And it's voicing the universal and celestial hymn of oneness, of love, wholeness, and of peace. It comforts us in the mists of loss. It lifts us in the presence of sorrow, and it lovingly nurtures us continually, for we are its own, eternally beloved, eternally cherished. We are folded in God's love, and we know that nothing that is ever loved is truly lost. And no one who has ever touched a heart can really ever pass away. Good afternoon, everybody. We're gathered here today to pay tribute to the life of our family member, of our friend, of our mentor, of our previous minister, Reverend Betty Lynn Johnson. We're here to honor her, to honor our precious memories of her, and to make comment on how she touched our lives. Today we look into our hearts to find peace with her passing, and to begin our process of healing, healing that sense of loss that all of us are feeling here today. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? There is one power, one presence, one life, and one goodness. Though it goes by many names in the world, I choose to call it God. And about God, I know that it is that biggest container of love, that love is present always, beneath any conflict, beneath any tragedy, at the bottom of it all is love. And so today, for myself, I intend to be a channel of that love. I intend to speak loving words. I intend to represent Lynn's love in this world. And as it is true for me, I know it can be true for each person here, that each of us can be a vessel for love on this day, a vessel for healing, a vessel for remembrance, a vessel maybe for joy in our memories of our beloved Lynn. And so for this, I give great thanks. I give thanks for this gathering of friends. I give thanks for our memories of Lynn. And I give thanks for the tremendous impact that Reverend Lynn Johnson had on this planet through her teaching, through her loving, through her friendship, through her connections. And so I release this prayer into the activity and action of the law itself. I let it be, and together we say, and so it is. So I believe that each one of us in this universe has a specific and necessary place You might think of it as a specific purpose. We each come to earth shining a unique and very special light, a light that cannot be duplicated, it cannot be extinguished, cannot be overshadowed by anyone else's light. And each of us is on a unique and sacred journey of our own soul's creation. And so when that soul's journey here on earth is complete, when it comes time for that soul to move on, when it comes time to follow its own calling to that next step of infinite journey, when this time comes, it may seem to those of us who are left that the light of the one that we cherished has dimmed and shines no more. We miss the contact, the connection, the mentorship, the laughter, the playfulness. We miss the sharing, the touch, the friendship. We miss the love. But just as a beacon from a lighthouse on a clear day guides us safely at sea, we only see that light when it shines in our direction. And then it turns and shines in another direction, illuminates a path for someone else. So it is with Lynn and her light. Her beautiful soul is not gone, not diminished in any way. She is simply expressing the essence of herself in a new way, one that we cannot presently see.
Moment in this place, I remember who I am, letting fear and worry fall away from me. I open my eyes to see that there is. There is only love, love that heals, love that sets us free. There is only love when I lose myself. When it seems I've lost my way, it's when I go inside and I quiet my mind, I can hear spirit say that there is only love. There is love that sets us free. There is only love. Sing it with us if you know it. There is only love. There is only love. Love that heals. Love that sets us free. There is only love. Sing it again. There is only love. Oh, oh, oh. There's only love. Love that heals. Love that sets us free. There is only love. There is only love. There is only love. Love that heals. Love that sets us free. There is only love. only love.
I Am There by James Dillett Freeman. Do you need me? I am there. You cannot see me, yet I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, yet I speak through your voice. You cannot feel me, yet I am the power at work in your hands. I am at work, though you do not understand my ways. I am at work, though you do not recognize my works. I am not strange visions. I am not mysteries. Only in absolute stillness, beyond self, can you know me as I am, and then but a feeling and a faith. Yet I am there. Yet I hear. Yet I answer. When you need me, I am there. Even if you deny me, I am there. Even when you feel most alone, I am there. Even in your fears, I am there. Even in your pain, I am there. I am there when you pray and when you pray not. I am in you and you are in me. Only in your mind can you feel separate from me, for only in your mind are the mists of yours and mine. Yet only with your mind can you know me, can you experience me. Empty your heart of empty fears. When you get yourself out of the way, I am there. You can of yourself do nothing, but I can do all, and I am in all. Though you may not see the good, good is there, for I am there. I am there because I have to be, because I am. Only in me does the world have meaning. Only out of me does the world take form. Only because of me does the world go forward. I am the law on which the movement of the stars and the growth of every living cell is founded. I am the love that is the law's fulfillment. I am assurance. I am peace. I am oneness. I am the law that you can live by. I am the love that you can cling to. I am your assurance. I am your peace. I am one with you. I am. Though you fail to find me, I do not fail you. Though your faith in me is unsure, my faith in you never wavers, because I know you, because I love you. Beloved, I am there.
Well, I think this is where I'm going to go off script a little bit. Doing a memorial for a minister presents you with some problems. First of all, if you look around, you're bound to find that they've already written their memorial. And that certainly was the case for our friend and partner in crime here, Reverend Lynn Johnson. She had a full memorial completely filled out, complete with the list of songs for LaRonda and Ken, complete with the list of readings for Patricia and for Marilyn, complete with remarks that we should include, and so on and so forth. And for the most part, you're going to get that today. But it also offers a challenge, of course, because she was so very close to me, and just remarking upon her passing is difficult for me, and yet, of course, I want to do her justice. Any of you who attended any of the memorials that she presided over were truly blessed. They were works of art. You would both laugh and cry before the hour was up, so to speak, and it was because, of course, her heart was in it 100%. Well, I do claim that my heart is in this 100%, and I want to offer you, hopefully it will be a treat. Not only do ministers have this wonderful habit of of preparing a memorial, if you also look through their papers, you are also apt to find a second memorial that they prepared for themselves in their Practitioner 2 class. And so, sure enough, on this lovely pink paper, and I will tell you, she got a good grade on it, too, is her other memorial, and I would like to read just a little bit of it. It actually is a full memorial, but there are a couple pieces of it that I think are important to read. In fact, this is the section that she indicated would be her eulogy. Lynn Johnson made a difference in the lives of those who knew her and in her own life as she searched continually for the greater evolution of her own consciousness and her own love. When Lynn was in her early 30s, a friend used to call her Betty Buddha. It seems that even then she knew the truth, but only she began her search on the path of awareness in earnest after sobriety. Her understanding and level of conscious connection with the oneness of all life responded rapidly. As this understanding deepened, Lynn knew that she knew the truth of her immortality, that she was, in fact, united with God rather than separated. And this truth brought her an inner peace and joy, which expanded to include all of those around her. She was centered and grounded in this knowing, and it was apparent to those who knew her. Lynn's heart was filled with love and a passion for life. She said yes to life. She embraced almost every aspect of her human experience, and I'm sure she is embracing this new adventure with the same enthusiasm. She encouraged people who came to her to be all that was possible for them to become, whatever form that took, and to move a little out of the comfort zone and risk a wider expansion of herself. She had an abiding faith in spirit that good comes of all experience, and so it shall from this experience at her memorial. When the disciples asked, "What is God's relationship to the dead?" Jesus replied, "He is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for in his sight all are alive. God simply is life, only life. Death is merely a transition from one conscious plane to another. Knowing how to die, we know how to live. Knowing how to live, of course, we know how to experience death. Lynn definitely knew how to live." So I would like to begin asking people who might want to share a memory of Lynn. We do have some time for an open mic here today. And in particular, I want to explain why the mic is necessary or requested. Many people who wanted to be here, some people in Mexico, some people in California, have asked that we record this service. And I know that anyone who has remarks that they want to share, those people would like to hear them as well. So even if you're somewhat microphone shy or think that your voice can be heard from the back of the room, it's probably true, but then it wouldn't make it onto the CDs for the people in distant places. So I just wanted to ask you if you'd be willing to share, to also, you know, use the microphone. And we don't even have to have it up here. We can move it down. A couple, to get us started with sharing, I want to read something from from Lynn's brother, Bill Powers, who's here today. And so make sure that you say hi both to Bill and also her sister, Pat Sawyer. After the service, they'll be here. So make sure you stop by. And yeah, see? There you go. But I wanted to read this. It really, he had emailed it in on the off chance that he couldn't be here today. But I asked his permission and would just like to read it to you. He says, "Many thoughts are racing through my mind today as we say goodbye to my sister Lynn. One is relief for her to be at peace. I'm grateful for her friendship and her love. I'm grateful that our sister Pat helped Lynn very much for many years with extraordinary kindness and generosity. I'm grateful that my wife Joan and our family met and knew Lynn and loved her. Grateful for their expressions of sympathy to me. Grateful for the inspiring love of Lynn by my father. I'm grateful to my daughter Molly, who recently advocated for Lynn regarding Lynn's cancer. My mind drifts back today to when we were young, a long way back. I remember the good times. I remember that Lynn could swim faster and throw a ball farther than I could. A little tough for an older brother. I remember that she was very shy until she competed to become a cheerleader at then the biggest high school in Oregon. She won. She attended the University of Oregon for a while, but as many in her generation deferred to promote the career of a man in her life. Lynn married but never had children. She purposefully decided not to do so. It was her choice. Lynn lived in Oregon, Texas, California, Idaho, Mexico, maybe other places as well. I remember she and her then husband John and Joan and had Joan and me over for dinner. We waited an exceptionally long time to eat. It was delicious, and Lynn told us later it was her purposeful strategy to make people wait a very long time. That way they would be grateful to eat and really appreciate her food. Lynn worked as a clothes buyer for Myron Frank, traveling to New York, and later operated her own clothing business. She was a secretary, a legal secretary. She owned and operated a house cleaning business and finally found her true calling as a minister and pastor. She loved this profession. She excelled at it. She helped many people. And I know that it helped her in many ways. Over the last several years, Lynn, our sister Pat, and I would meet at the Cadillac Cafe near the Lloyd Center for breakfast. Sometimes my wife Joan would attend. And I will always treasure these meetings. The three of us joyfully discussed liberal politics and our admiration for Hillary and Michelle and Obama. We discussed how critical it is to have the safety net to provide assistance to those in need, the foolishness of war. I often sent Lynn emails and text messages. I would say hundreds of these, many including pictures of our extended families. Lynn answered everyone with a cheerful reply. Less than a week ago, Lynn wrote me a message answering my request for her address so that Joan could mail her a gift. Lynn never complained. Lynn was available to the end. Lynn, like everyone, had setbacks during her life, but always rose to the challenge. She was always upbeat. Rest in peace, Lynn. God bless you. I will miss you. See you later. Love, your brother, Bill." And so I would just like to invite other people who likewise have fond memories of Lynn to come forward and share, if you would. Thank you. You can speak too.
I can too. About 15 years ago, I started attending Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I was invited by Linda Rossi to be a part of the music team, and we started that way. And I was a new musician, so I was like, yeah, it's a gig. Come on, let's do it. And so, so many, many, many Sunday mornings went by, and I remember Nancy Ashley getting up and saying, I know that somewhere between the music, the meditation, and the message is exactly what your heart came to receive. And I'm like, yeah. And we moved from Southeast, and I'm singing my songs, trying to remember my lyrics, and then we moved over to the convention center, and then we moved over here, and I remember it was one Sunday morning, I was sitting there, and it hit me after many sermons by Reverend Lynn, whom I admired, who I had never met a woman as strong and powerful and vulnerable as her, and it was just amazing to see a woman in leadership that way. And she said, Reverend Lynn preached from this pulpit, and she said, if you change your mind, you can change your life. And I had been hearing it for many years over and over, and then all of a sudden, if I change my mind, I can change my life. And it was exactly what my heart was there to receive, and I am ever grateful for this ministry, for being brought into the presence of Reverend Lynn, and got a chance to visit her a few days before she made her transition. And she was laying there, and you know, obviously in the state of beginning her transition. And she asked me, so what's going on with you? How are the girls? And I said, Reverend Lynn, you know, in my mind. And I said, well, do you really want to hear that? And on her bed, making her transition, she was able to give to me just this incredible wisdom that has gotten me through. It got me through that situation. I mean, she said, that's not for you to do. I mean, she was always that way, so giving. And that's one of the things I remember, even when she was in transition, she was still giving, she was still sharing, she was still teaching, and so I'll ever be grateful for that.
So come on up, please.
Suelo will read in Spanish, and I will read in English.
Can I say, I was going to sing this, but I can't. I'm too emotional. But she and I just really connected when she was coming back from Mexico every, you know, few years, and finally when she came, and we figured out we have the same birthday, the same year even. I mean, that's been rare for me. And so we were planning this year to, after the chemo was over and all that, to celebrate our birthdays. But I had the grace and the pleasure of spending the last weekend with her. I spent the night and we had so much fun. Believe it or not, I'd get up to go to the bathroom, she'd get up to go to the bathroom, you know. We just, you know, joked about, you know, oh, look at us. And the Saturday morning we had prayer together before her caregiver came, and we had our coffee and we prayed together. And one of the things she always kept telling me, because I always would say something like, you know, God and I are one, I can feel it. She'd say, Consuelo, stop it. There is one life. This life is God's life. This life is perfect love. This is your life now. I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to read. So she wrote it down for me. Okay. So I won't forget, right? And we've had so much, you know, the women's retreat, I was her roommate, and then I was very lucky that she went through a period of making pies, and guess what? I got to be a pie taster, and it was really, really fun and really wonderful. So I was going to sing this in Spanish, but like I said, I don't think I can do this. It's called Gracias a la Vida. It was written by Violeta Paras Sandoval, who wrote this song and then decided how she wanted her life to end. And I think that Reverend Lynn did the same. You know, she just, her body was tired. Her soul was strong, but her body was tired. And so when she made the decision on April 26th that it's time. And when I talked to her sister on the phone, she said, we're on our way. And I said, oh, thank you. And I, unfortunately, I have a commitment in Prineville for 2 weeks, so. But anyway, I'm going to read it as a poem. And Sandra's going to read the English after I finish the Spanish, so that you can maybe understand that. But she loved Mexico so much, and she loved the people, you know, so much. And the women, she worked with women and empowering women to be all that they could be in that society, which can be difficult coming from one similar. And so I'm going to sing it. I'm going to talk it. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto. Me dio dos luceros que cuando los abro, perfecto distingo lo negro de blanco y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellando y en las multitudes de la gente que yo amo. That's thanks, the first paragraph.
Thanks to life, which has given me so much. It gave me two stars, which when I open them, perfectly distinguish black from white. And in the tall sky, its starry backdrop, and within the multitudes, the ones that I love.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto. Me ha dado el oído que en su todo ancho graba la noche, el día, los grillos, canarios, martillos, turbinas, ladrillos, chabascos, y la voz tierna de mis amados.
Thanks to life, which has given me so much. It gives me hearing that in all of its reach records night and day, crickets and canaries, hammers and turbines, bricks and storms, and the tender voice of my beloved.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto. Me ha dado el sonido y al vecindario. Con las palabras que pienso y declaro, madre, amigo, hermano, hermana, la luz alumbrando, la ruta del alma de que estoy amando.
Thanks to life, which has given me so much. It gave me sound and the alphabet. With them, the words I think and declare, mother, friend, brother, and light shining down on the road of the soul of the one I am loving.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto. Me ha dado la marcha de mis pies cansados. En ellos anduve ciudades y charcos, playas, desiertos, montañas y llanos. Y la casa tuya, tu calle, tu patio.
Thanks to life, which has given me so much. It gave me the steps of my tired feet. With them I have traversed cities and puddles, valleys and deserts, mountains and plains, and your house, your street, and your garden.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto. Me ha dado la risa y me ha dado el llanto. Los dos materiales que forma mi canto. El canto de ustedes, que es mi mismo canto. El canto de todos, que es mi propio canto. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto.
Thanks to life, which has given me so much. It gave me laughter, and it gave me tears. With them, I distinguish happiness from pain, the two elements that make up my song and your song as well, which is the same song and everyone's song, which is my very song.
Thank you for letting me read it for you.
That's a tough act to follow. So I, too, 15 years ago, came to the Portland Center for the first time. And I have to admit that I was nervous. Going into a place of worship had not always been a positive experience for me. On this particular occasion, however, I did indeed go. I had heard so much about it. And Reverend Lynn was standing at the doorway into the sanctuary, and I thought that was kind of strange. I'd never seen a minister stand at the beginning of the service, but she was greeting everybody that came in the door. And she paused for a few moments, looked in their eyes, greeted them by name, thanked them for coming, and I'm going, wow, It was pretty cool. So I stepped up, and she looked at me, and she said, "You're new here." And I said, "Yes, this is my first time." "Well, what is your name?" Introduced myself. She clasped my hands very warmly, gave me wonderful eye contact, and said, "Thank you for being here. This is obviously where your heart needs to be." Well, I just about melted into a puddle at that point. But the amazing thing was is that after the service was over and people were filing out, she was doing the same thing. And when I came out, I'm thinking, "You're not going to remember who I am." She looked at me, she said, "Sarah, it was a pleasure having you here this morning, and I hope that you'll consider coming back." Well, that was pretty much a slam dunk. But I think that one of the things one of Lynn's greatest strengths from my standpoint, purely my own experience, is her platform skills were just unbelievable. And if you will indulge me for just a moment, I remember this one. All due respect, Larry, I do remember your sermons, really. But on this particular occasion, this is what happened. Lynn is up on the platform, right? And she goes like this. I'm seeing some nodding heads. You remember this, don't you? And she started very simply by saying, "This is my baggage. I carry it everywhere with me." And you know what? You have baggage too. And from that point on was a wonderful lesson about life, of course, and the baggage that we all carry, and were we willing to let it go. So yes, I have wonderful memories of Lynn, her strength, her absolute passion for this community, and may I say, the founding mother of the Women's Retreat. Yes. I went to that first retreat with Karen Drucker, remember that? And Maggie, I was close. I went, "Oh, it's Cole," yes. Maggie Cole, it was a phenomenal weekend, and we are now in what year? Year 14. So if there is a living legacy to be had, ladies, it is the Women's Retreat. And for those of you that haven't been, you're really missing out. So, Lynn, I know you're here. I feel you. I feel your love. And I thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Martha McCabe, and I'm from the Santa Rosa Center for Spiritual Living. And I ended up being, although I invited people to come on the road trip, I am the sole representative of about 1,000 people who were touched by Reverend Lynn during her tenure in the Santa Rosa community. Oh, I'm getting that now. And I just want to read to you what I wrote when I first heard of her passing and that this was scheduled from a mutual friend of ours that's here in Portland. Just because it was what was on my heart in the moment, and now it went away, it'll come back. Excuse me for just a moment, I'm sorry. Open all the other emails from my friends up here. I am going, probably leaving Wednesday early to visit with friends in Ashland. Anyone want to join me? You know the end to that story. Reverend Lynn was the director of education when I began my practitioner studies on September 11th, 2001. She was the teacher that first term and held a shell-shocked classroom in grief, confusion, and with ease. And with ease, comma, grace, and modeling our principles in action. Reverend Lynn was my self-mastery and financial freedom teacher and mentor through forgiveness work before that. I owe my life as I know it to Science of Mind, and Reverend Lynn was the vessel, the delivery mechanism in human form. So that's a little bit of my connection with her. We connected very early on. I so needed forgiveness work. We connected because we're both a part of the recovery community and could communicate on that level. And I said, after having attended a forgiveness workshop, I need to do this for about 6 months. Will you help? And she did on whenever I needed her, both professionally as my practitioner as well as just as a dear friend, you know, going to lunch together. And so, yes, I just bring you love and just know how many other people she touched while she was in California. Just as of January, gave up my position as co-director of the education ministry in Santa Rosa in favor of semi-retirement. It's why I can be here. Our classes start on Monday for the summer term, and I have someone else doing it. Oh, I'm so excited. And I will till the day I can no longer lift a pen or get on the computer, be the regional registrar for the Holmes Institute at the Santa Rosa campus. So thank you all very much. It's lovely to be here, and the gracious welcome has been beautiful. Thank you.
I'm June, and my first inkling that Lynn was somebody special was when she did her very first workshop here when she was applying for this church. And there were a group of us, and she said, get yourselves seated, and we'll start. She let us bumble around. I mean, people couldn't decide whether they wanted to be in rows or a circle or whatever. And she just let us stumble. And finally, we figured out a circle would be nice. And we did it, and she started the class. And I, having worked in high schools for many years, I thought, she knows not to give instructions and get antsy and upset. She just let it happen and let us do our own thing, and it worked great. And then I was president of the board at that time, and Lynn was a very strong person, as you all know. And I'm a fairly stubborn person, as some of you know. And so it was not always sweetness and light. I mean, you've been hearing from all the sweetness and light people. Well, now you've got me. But one thing I realized a few months ago was that part of our dissension was my fault. It just dawned on me that, golly, you know, maybe there was something of my doing in that. It helped that I found out I'm Asperger-y, and you know, that gave me pause. So I apologized, and I was so pleased that I had done that, because it would be terrible if she died and she didn't know that part of it was my fault and that I knew it. But I want to say one more thing. I think another legacy besides the women's retreat is Larry. And she did such a good job of grooming him to replace her. I mean, control? My gosh, look at that. She figured out that she was going to be leaving at some point, and she wanted this church in good hands. So I give her applause.
I feel like another Lynn legacy story. So I met Lynn in 2002 when I first attended the Portland Center, and I was coming straight out of a really icky divorce and in the middle of a custody battle that I didn't win, and it was like the most challenging time of my life. And I started coming to the center and taking classes because Lynn saw me, because she's like, I don't think you're what you think you are. Let me tease some of what I see in you out. And she kept doing that, and she kept doing that. And then I was in foundations, and then I was in charge of the teen night, and then I was on the board, and then I was the vice president, and then I was the president, and then I was in practitioner training, and then I was on the women's retreat committee, and then I was doing the the community retreat and all of these things because Lynn saw me and because she refused to let me hide from myself. And she continued to be like, yeah, I know you think you're this circumstance of your life, but you're so much more. And so while I know that the legacy of Lynn living through me isn't necessarily here in this room anymore, but it's out in the world doing amazing things. And I know that that stems from a woman seeing me. And I want to share one particular memory that I always remember from her, because here I was going through a custody battle. Life wasn't really great. I didn't have a lot of support. I didn't have a lot of family. And I came home and came home from my part-time job that sort of sucked, doing like telemarketing for home security. You know, I was that person that called you and tried to make an appointment, you know, for someone to come to your house and sell you something. Yeah, that was me. And so I came home kind of just like unsatisfied with life, and I listen, and there's a voice message. And it was from Lynn. And I barely knew her at the time. She knew I was going through some hard stuff. And she just said, I was just thinking about you. And I wanted to see how you are. And I just lost it. I just bawled. I just like fell apart on the floor, because at that time, nobody else wanted to see how I was. But she did. And so I'm forever grateful for her role in my life and in my leadership. Thank you.
We will come down to you.
Thank you. I'm sorry I can't stand. But I knew Lynn as a friend. And so we used to play cards together. When she stayed with Larry, we went over, and I'd go over, drive over to her house. She'd drive to mine. We played cards forever, but we'd have wonderful conversations, of course. And as everybody knows, you can't complain about anything to Lynn. So anytime I thought I was going to complain about something, I heard the truth. That all is love or whatever. But what I so enjoyed about Lynn was that she loved her life. She loved things that she did. And I don't know, it comes back to me because it was just how much she enjoyed things. She had a little bedside table. She was going to paint, and she was so thrilled with it because she had a comforter that she wanted to paint it to match. And she got the colors, and she got help, and she was just so pleased. And when I thought about her, I thought about how she enjoyed the things she had and the things she did. She just found so much pleasure in things. She would come. She loved my cat, and I know how much she loved Larry's dogs. And she just, I think she enjoyed her life so much, and I could just see it in her attitude with the things she had. She would say her fabulous quilt and her, you know, fabulous this, and she just, I thought about how much she enjoyed her life. And I think that was her legacy to me, was remember, just enjoy everything. And it was the material things, but it wasn't that she needed material things. It was just that everything was there for enjoyment.
My name is Patricia, and I've known Lynn. I met her when she first came because I was on the candidating team, and I was also a practitioner at that time, and I got to interview her in both those capacities. And then when we hired her, I became the volunteer coordinator, so I was always checking in with her constantly. And somehow or other, we just became friends. And so I've known her in so many different capacities, which is absolutely wonderful. I was part of the of the card game group as well, and we probably meet once a month or so. There were four of us when we started, and five of us sometimes, and then we became prayer partners, and we went to lunch a lot, and I just felt like there were so many different parts of our relationship that I was just so blessed with, and I will always remember Lynn. We shared so much together, and it was so cute because when she was not feeling well, when she was going through her chemo, she'd always call me up or send me an email. Could you bring over some of your homemade soup? So she always complimenting me on my cooking. But so everything. I mean, I just really feel that I had such a lovely relationship with Lynn, and I agree with Marjorie that she always enjoyed her life, whatever. Whatever she did, she did it to the best she could, the greatest she could. So.
Hi, I'm Marilyn, and I'm a licensed practitioner here. My first conscious memory of Reverend Lynn was Reverend Larry's ordination. I came to this center past when Reverend Lynn had left and gone to Mexico. And all I remember was that there was this great celebration, but there was this woman on the platform, and I kept thinking, who is that? Everyone seems to know who she is, and I want to know her. Well, I didn't get an opportunity to meet her that evening, but I kept thinking, I need to know who that woman is. And someone said, oh, that's Reverend Lynn. And I'm like, well, who is Reverend Lynn? And they're like, well, she's our previous senior minister. Well, she did a workshop the following summer, and it was on relationships and forgiveness. We all know how that was her forte. And I had the privilege of getting to know her. I introduced myself. And I was in the middle of practitioner studies, and life was getting a little bit challenging because any of us that have gone through practitioner studies know that anything that's hidden gets revealed in order to be healed so that you can move on the path. So a lot of stuff was coming up, and I thought, I really need a mentor. But this time, Reverend Lynn had gone back to Mexico, and I'm like, I want Reverend Lynn to be my mentor, but I don't know if she's going to remember me. I mean, how do I get a hold of her? What I mean, if I call her, what am I going to say? The following Sunday, I'm volunteering in the bookstore, and I look up, and here is Reverend Lynn, big as life. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, she's right here. Well, then I started getting chicken, like, oh, she probably doesn't know who I am, and do I dare ask her to be my mentor? Well, she came into the sanctuary and sat down, and I went, Marilyn, get yourself out there, schedule a practitioner session, and ask her. Well, to say the least, I did schedule that practitioner session. I did ask her. She did say yes, and I was truly blessed to have her as a mentor. Well, I, too, learned cards from Reverend Lynn, because anyone that knows Reverend Lynn, yes, she's this loving person, but I can also tell you she's fiercely competitive when it comes to hand and foot, which is the card game that she taught me. So two Christmases ago, we spent together at the beach, and every morning we'd get up and we'd look at each other, we'd do spiritual mind treatment for nanoseconds, and we'd go, tournament? And then we would play. Well, when she taught me the game, she was like very gracious and was telling me all the rules. Well, I had beginner's luck and won the first round. Well, from that time on, it was like, sweetie, you know this game head on. Well, one of my favorite memories was because typically she did win because she was very good at it. Well, there was this one game, and she was knocking it out of the park. And she was very gracious and said, well, do you want to finish? Because it has several rounds. And I said, absolutely, I'm in for the gusto, we're going for it. Well, any of us that have played the game know that there's a real opportunity if you get a clean book of sevens. Clean book means it's seven sevens, it's 1,500 points. Well, she was sure she was going to get one. Well, I did spiritual mind treatment. I got not one, not two, but three books of clean sevens, which really brought me forward. So at the end of the game, after we counted the books, it was obvious that I had inched ahead. And typically, we counted all the points. Well, with one fell swoop, Lim took her arm, went like this with all the cards, and said, "That was really close, wasn't it?" And I went, "Yes, Reverend Lynn, that was really close." The other thing that I want to share is that she believed in science of mind. She lived her life by this teaching. And when she was my mentor going through practitioner studies, the one thing that we all know, Reverend Lynn, is about consciousness. And the word consciousness, I cannot read it without thinking of Reverend Lynn. I cannot hear it without thinking of Reverend Lynn. And every Friday, she called me from Mexico. And we had a one-hour session as I was going through Prac 2. And I wasn't getting it. I was kind of a slow learner about this consciousness stuff. And so I was whining one day about something someone had done. Well, she had finally had it. You know, she was very gracious and very patient, but finally she got that stern voice and she went, "Marilyn, it's consciousness. It's all about consciousness." Well, from that day on, I was like, okay, it's consciousness, it's consciousness. And as I was with her at the end of her life, I do remember sitting with her and just knowing it's all about consciousness. And that she was ready to soar, and she is soaring. And so I am so grateful for the gift of the awareness of consciousness, that it's all consciousness, that it is love, that she has given to each of us. And I do love cards. I'm just as competitive as she is.
I'm sorry to call out from the room, but I must. In Santa Rosa, Hand and Foot, because of Reverend Lynn, was called Nasty. Oh.
So I know there are probably more people that would like to share, and I have good news for you. After the service, we have food, we have snacks, we'll have plenty of time to do more visiting. What I'd like you to do, in fact, for right now, is just close your eyes for a moment. And I'd like to invite you to just think of a particular memory of Reverend Lynn Johnson, Betty Lynn Johnson. And whether you're someone who benefited from her ministry, whether you were a family member, whether maybe she taught you something in that capacity, or whether she was just a presence of love and light in your life, just think of a particular loving memory of her. This memory, of course, will dwell in our hearts for always. Anything that is loved never truly fades away. This is one of the ways that we keep her alive in our lives. This is one of the ways that we keep celebrating her life, is by picturing her, by loving her, by thinking of her, knowing that she is here in our hearts truly always. Let us pray. There is one power, one presence, one life, and one goodness. Gently and silently within my own being, I feel and sense the grace of the Holy Spirit present everywhere and surrounding this place, flowing in and around each one of us as we honor Lynn, as we honor and celebrate our memories of her. We acknowledge, of course, our feelings of sadness and loss. We know they're part of being human. We know that they will fade over time to be replaced by these memories, these comforting memories of joy, of love, of connection to our friend. And so we allow ourselves to surrender into the arms of Spirit, where that comfort and support can melt all fears of the unknown. We commit ourselves to the process of life in all of its forms, and we commit ourselves to love, both today and in the days to come. And now, with hearts filled with gratitude for the love expressed through our dear Reverend Lynn, we simply say thank you, God, for the privilege of sharing this earth with her and for our time together. May her journey unfold easily, sweetly, gracefully. And so it is. Amen.